Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Check it out.
Check it out. It's Wednesday. Hump day.
We're coming in a dollar ahead, a minute early.
A dollar?
I don't know. Isn't it like a day late, a dollar short? So I'm trying to switch it up.
So we're a day ahead, a minute ahead?
We're a minute ahead. Maybe,
and a dollar.
I don't know. A dime early?
Nickel.
Nickel. Not a full dime, huh? Nickel.
Not even a full dime. 5 cents.
Just a nice, solid, the thickest coin there is.
Yeah.
The nickel.
How come that one, like, what was the thinking in those? Why didn't they just
make
them?
On the nickel?
On all of the currency. Like, penny. Let's make that one copper.
Weren't they just cheating off of Britain's paper? Probably.
I don't know.
Britain would have had established coins by then.
They had standard coins?
Yes. And then we're like, no, we want to do our own because we're our own country. We beat you in the war.
And I don't know. And I don't want to know either. Like the currency throughout the years.
Like what we used to have and then what
in
we don't have?
In my mind, they were all golden coins. Kind of like pirates' treasure. Like maybe there was a stamp on them. Maybe there wasn't. But it was all solid gold, baby.
And then at some point that shifted to copper and silver,
I guess,
as we mine, and because it had less value, thus it had less value.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
But you don't want to really know.
I don't want to.
This is just how it goes.
This is my gut telling me this is probably how it went back in the day.
Do you think Nicolas Cage style, there's a treasure chest just of old coins somewhere?
Yeah.
That there's a series of complex clues hidden in national monuments for us to figure out?
Eric, my favorite memory is sitting together with all of my roommates in college and one of them turning to me and saying, is this based on a true story?
National treasure?
National treasure! There's so much stuff in it that's like real, you know? Is this real?
They thought there was a map on the back of the Constitution?
Yeah. We're like, for a second, everybody just stops and like, are you kidding?
Can I ask what that roommate's doing now?
I don't know. I'm so sorry for bringing it up, Carla. I know it was an innocent question.
It has to be there. You just need the special Ben Franklin trifocals to see it.
If we just break in, steal Ben Franklin's trifocals, we'll be able to decode the whole message. No, that's not real.
No, he was a Mason, Claire. There's many things we don't know about the Masons.
And maybe some of it's true. Maybe just a certain degree.
Is this guys, is this based on a true story?
There's a lot of like historical stuff in it. I didn't know.
Yes, it's just highly entertaining. It's a well-done movie of fiction.
We're like, no, that's Nicolas Cage. No, this isn't real.
He's not the descendant of whoever killed Lincoln or what, right? Wasn't that also the problem?
Yes.
He was fighting for his honor of his last name.
That's
was
right.
His motivation in the movie,
right.
Was to clear his last name.
Oh, it's been so long since I saw that one.
That's one of those, though, I could always go back. I just enjoy it.
It's a popcorn movie.
Well, because Da Vinci Code kind of set the table for that.
Oh, and we were all into code movies, right?
Also, did your roommate think Da Vinci Code was based on a true story?
It never came up.
Okay.
Never. Not one.
But that, there was something about like, oh, this is like, it's 100% never possible or not possible.
Yes.
But because there's real things in it.
Yes. Real places, real people, real references in history times.
Then it feels like you got a shot maybe, right?
Is this real? I don't know. What's real anymore, man?
That's fantastic.
I know.
I love
that. Oh, it's so fun. And then I just want to say I am so sorry to a woman named Emily King. She is from California, and she probably has a little bit of that mommy brain.
Yeah.
She's getting ready for her daughter's first birthday party.
Aw.
I know. And there's a lot of stress. Like, you know, she just went back to work, and you're trying to get together for the first birthday, and the pressure is tremendous just trying to make, like, everything work for that first birthday and to make it so, so magical. So she decided to send out Evites for the party. And accidentally send out an invitation to her kid's first birthday party to all 487 contacts in her phone.
Crazy neighbor guy.
Yes.
Right?
That's however somebody is entered into your phone, that's how they got the invitation.
Because it fills in the blank of the two.
How it's stored in your phone. That be embarrassing.
Well, if you get an email from me addressed to Crappy Claire, I apologize.
Crappy Claire? No! Shame on you!
I'm joking. I do have benevolent Ben, though.
Oh. That makes sense. No, that tracks.
Oh, my God, that poor one.
I would want to die of embarrassment.
No kidding.
No, yeah, we're not having the party. It's canceled.
No, Fred from the grocery store. His name is Fred. No, Fred from the grocery store.
Also, I'm moving, and please delete my contact information.
Oh, that poor mom.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Okay, last night was a beautiful evening as we celebrated my daughter, Audrey's 12th birthday, and extra special because all of my kids kind of have like birthday buddies. My mom's birthday is this week as well, and my husband's grandma's birthday was just on Monday, on Earth Day.
It's cool when they start to kind of cluster like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it was fun. We had to go over. We did a little visit to her house. Mm-hmm. She's 80, so it's a nice round number this year. So I had to, you know, spoil her a little bit.
Little card.
Exactly.
Little candy or cake or something.
And she's like, I remember when they made Earth Day on my birthday. It was a big deal.
Wow.
Yeah. She's like, it's only happened for 24 years or something like that. Like, it hasn't been forever, but I remember they chose my birthday. It was a really big deal.
Aw, Grandma.
Good for you, Linda. And she was also telling Audrey that she's lucky because on her birthday, there's a special something in the sky. The moon is going to be a pink moon, a special event that you'll have to look into the sky and see. And she was very excited. And I was a little surprised. I looked, and of course, I knew it was going to be a full moon, but it's big, it's up there, and it does have a slight hazy tone to it. But as we were looking at the moon, for whatever reason, we started talking about the Twilight books. And Audrey was like, isn't one of them called moon something? You know, one of them's eclipse. I remember that because everybody was making memes about eclipse right. during the eclipse. And what was one of them had something to do with the moon? I was like, yes, daughter, it was Twilight, and then it was New Moon, and then it was Eclipse, and then Breaking Dawn, part one, and then part two, if you're talking about the movies. If you're talking about the books, it was just the one. So that's everything I know about Twilight.
Did she love you more or less after that moment?
I think everybody got a little sad. I think I killed the party vibe. And I was a little sad, too, that I knew that much.
What's your grandmother-in-law's name?
Linda.
How did Linda take that?
She's like, oh, good for you. No clue what I'm talking about.
Well, you guys better get going.
Isn't it time for you to leave? Shouldn't this visit be over? You should go home now.
Thanks for stopping by.
I think it's about time for you to leave.
We have presents. Nah, we're good.
No, I don't want to open them. I just want you to leave. Sorry. Oh,
Claire.
Sorry.
Claire.
Sorry, Grams.
Happy Pink Moon Day, by the way.
I enjoy it.
You had an affliction at the end of last week.
What was it?
I now have the exact same affliction. Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
It started at this building.
There's flags in the ground.
And then those flags went to your neighborhood.
No.
Do you want to know where the flags are now?
In your neighborhood.
They're in my yard, Claire.
What?
The tree flags have arrived in our northeast side neighborhood.
The trees are coming for you.
The tree flags. However, none in my yard.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. What?
You can tell there's a color system to where the flags go and
yeah,
who gets a tree.
There's red and yellow and yeah. some blue, but not many.
None. I have no trees positioned or destined for the Danson Eric Hansen front yard.
Do you take that personally? Or?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, what about my piece of property is telling the city avoid, avoid, avoid?
Or, Eric, this just means that you don't have any electrical, you don't have any gas.
Or do I have way too much?
Or water. No, they didn't put any flags in your yard?
No, I have flags. I just don't have the tree flags.
Oh.
Because they spray painted everybody.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's pretty clear who didn't get a red flag.
Oh.
I didn't get a red flag.
You are not the chosen one.
No, I'm not the chosen
one.
Well,
you know what? Drive down your street and enjoy everybody else's trees.
Where's my tree, Claire?
None for you.
We now know the identity of the man killed in his home whose truck was then involved in a crash this past weekend. Court documents saying that 22-year-old Sebastian O'Brien and the victim, Douglas Manley, were moving furniture on Sunday, and they got into a fight.
Okay.
Investigators say O'Brien told them he punched, kicked, and then hit Manley with a dresser drawer. Deputies then found O'Brien that afternoon crashed in Manley's pickup. Deputies went to Manley's house. Manley dead inside.
Oh, my gosh.
So something developed while moving furniture. O'Brien now charged with first-degree murder. Court date coming up on May the 1st. Sports shots! Quarterback Deacon Hill, who started 9 games for Iowa last year, entered the transfer portal yesterday.
Wow.
Hill transferred to Iowa, if you remember, in the spring of 23 after 2 seasons in Wisconsin. I say between Brian Ferentz and Deacon Hill, they both got a lot of blame for last year's performance.
Totally.
Iowa still has 2 quarterbacks on its roster, including presumed starter Cabe McNamara, but Cabe is nursing an ACL injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be full go midsummer. After June, Iowa will have 3 quarterbacks available for summer workouts. We've got an incoming freshman coming in who is had been recruited from Florida. There is still, though, this whole transfer portal thing that allows players to basically jump ship from one team and go to another one.
Okay, I was wondering.
Will we source that for a quarterback? That's the question. I don't know.
So
I don't know if we feel that comfortable in Cabe, or if we're worried, like, if he goes down, then who do we go to, right?
Yeah, you want to have somebody.
And you got a brand new offensive coordinator, so I think you want to get somebody in the system as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So, just continuing news coming out of the Iowa Hawkeye football program in the last couple of days.
Some new names.
I've got some more. Specials.
What else?
Caitlin Clark appears to be on the cusp of setting another record. The most prolific scorer in NCAA Division I history and #1 overall pick in the WNBA draft. Preparing to sign a record-breaking contract with Nike. $28 million over 8 years, and the Caitlin Clark shoe will be in the deal.
Oh, I can't wait to see those sell out.
So just as we understand it, there was the Air Jordan, and now there's the Caitlin Clark. You can buy the shoe by name once it gets released.
That is so cool.
That's phenomenal. That's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
That's where we're at with Caitlin Clark fever.
Wow.
I mistakenly asked you earlier, what's cuter
than a baby?
And my hope was you were going to say what, and then I was going to say 2 babies.
Oh, no, I had suggestions.
You had a ton of suggestions, most of them involving babies with little tiny animals.
Yes.
Baby animals, which you're right. I can't deny that.
All cute.
But what is adorable.
Oh, what about a baby monkey?
Oh, a baby monkey.
In a diaper as well.
Yeah, I have trouble with animals wearing diapers.
Right, but you don't want to clean up after it.
I don't, but also why would I have a baby monkey?
I don't know what you're doing on a Saturday. I don't know.
Especially, I just brought my baby home. Why would I have a baby monkey?
Good point. Not the time.
Aren't
to get
you supposed to be protecting the newborn from everything?
Not a time to get a pet monkey.
I would not get a pet monkey for at least a year.
You're right. You're right.
At least a year.
What's cuter than a baby?
2 babies, Claire. St. Luke's posted on social media this week, there's been a twin baby boom.
Really?
11 sets of twins. Last
11?
Month, 11. That broke a record for St. Luke's. In 2023, they maybe averaged 4 a month. They had 11.
Oh, my goodness.
Last month. At one time in the NICU last month, they were caring for 6 sets of twins. And by the way, there was a set of triplets born last month as well.
Oh.
So, something's up.
No kidding. Teachers, brace yourselves in about 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. If they're going to have those names that are almost
double trouble.
Here's Eric and Derek. And their pet monkey.
they decided to get a monkey in the end.
Yeah.
A couple of people on the radio were talking about it. Just couldn't shake the idea.
So yeah, the pet monkey comes for pick up and drop off.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Several crew members were injured on the set of a movie filming. It's called The Pickup. And it stars Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy was not involved. It happened to the crew this past weekend on Saturday. They're shooting in Georgia. Unfortunately, the sequence of action did not go as planned, and several members of the crew were injured as a result.
Was it a stunt?
It was kind of like I think they were filming some vehicles.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was the stunt people within the vehicles.
Car chase or something?
Camera people. A truck locked up. and crashed unexpectedly into another car.
Oh, no.
Yeah. According to the report, two people were hospitalized with injuries ranging from bruises to some broken bones. Looks like everybody's going to be okay. Eddie Murphy, I told you, is one of the stars, along with Kiki Palmer and Pete Davidson. None of them were on set when the accident actually happened. I think this was just a, like an exterior shot of a vehicle. So,
do you think this happens more often and we don't hear about it? Or if you watch Making Of, it's like when they do stunts, like everything has to be, it's precision, right?
Right. Well, and this resulted in injuries to the people working on the movie. I think maybe stuff goes wrong, but luckily nobody got hurt.
Yes.
And maybe you don't hear about those. But when people are
and multiple people are sent to the hospital.
Yeah, and they have to release a statement about it. You got to tell people what's going on. They said that all safety precautions were reviewed prior to, and they're looking at what happened at the actual shoot. But that was kind of scary. All right. A photographer named Emilio Garcia worked for Megan Thee Stallion and has taken her to court, claiming that she created a toxic work environment. He says a number of things about Megan Thee Stallion, says that he was fat shamed by her, verbally abused. She underpaid him. He also has a very interesting scene that he witnessed in the back of an SUV in Spain in 2022. He says that Megan Thee Stallion made him watch her entertain a lady in the back of the vehicle.
What?
Yes, they were doing adult things in the back
sure.
of a vehicle. Yeah. Because of this, he says he now suffers from profound emotional distress, mounting anxiety, depression, physical distress stemming from a toxic work environment. I don't know exactly how much he's suing for. I do know, however, that his lawyer is the same lawyer that's representing the people suing Lizzo for harassment.
I have conflicting feelings on this.
I know. It's very confusing, and it's all just kind of breaking yesterday. So
part of me is like, not. I'm going to preface by saying I'm not giving permission.
No.
Right? I'm not green lighting.
No.
But there is the rock and roll lifestyle.
Sure.
Like it or hate it,
mm-hmm.
that's a thing.
Yes.
But that's also the work environment,
mm-hmm.
right? And now that I'm thinking of it from an HR standpoint, once you get in that vehicle and if you're being hired to take pictures, you're at work.
Yeah.
But then stuff starts to go weird.
But how would that incident happen? And you're a photographer and like you wouldn't want pictures of.
And then I start to wonder, did you go along willingly? And then as you look back on it, maybe you feel weird about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then where are you blaming? Right. It's just, it's hard to wrap my head around that.
It is hard to wrap your head around. And I also want to see what happens with the whole Lizzo harassment case. I want to know what happens here. I don't have any response from Megan Thee Stallion for her part, what she has to say about the incident. So I think there's more to the story there. It's just breaking news. And I completely missed this one. On Sunday, there was a brand new episode of The Simpsons, one of the longest running animated shows on television, right?
I think it is the longest running animated show for sure.
34 years of The Simpsons.
That's a long time.
It's a very long time. And this past Sunday, they just killed off a character who has been on the show since season one.
Oh, this is going to be hard. Try to remember who it is.
You're not going to remember.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you because he was a very, very minor character. But there's going to be one empty bar stool at Moe's Tavern because Larry the Barfly bit the dust.
He did?
He did. Larry the Barfly. What do we know about Larry? He sat next to Sam. You also might not know. He was 42 years old. You might.
Is Larry the one that belches all the time? No.
That's Barney.
That's Barney. Thank you.
So there's the core four. There's, you know, Barney and Carl and Lenny.
I think I can kind of picture it.
He's just also in the room.
He's just always at Moe's.
Exactly. And he's very rarely said a word. He didn't say anything in season one. In season two, he had one line, "Who's the chick?" when Marge Simpson came to the bar to get Homer. And that's kind of where they were coming to the story for his death as well. The season, the episode was called Cremains of the Day. Larry dies and then Homer and Moe and Lenny and Carl have to go on a road trip to scatter his ashes. Since he was such a background character, they really didn't know the guy that well. And then as they attend the funeral, they feel really bad because they realize they really didn't know this guy they were sitting next to for 34 years. And his mother tells, he described them as his best friends. So they have to quickly make up a fishing trip story. And then she says that they need to spread his ashes. And it's quite the thing.
Well, had I known, I would have worn black today.
I know. Rest in peace, Larry, the barfly.
I'm sure somewhere in the writer's room a year ago, they're like, we need to kill off a character.
It's time.
And they just start listing everybody, and then they're like,
what about that guy?
That one right there.
Sorry, Larry, we hardly knew ye. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
You know, they write lots and lots of books on kids because they're tough little creatures to figure out sometimes. And as parents, guardians, we do our best. But sometimes it's perplexing the things that a child will develop an unusual attachment to.
But this is why Momtiversity was invented.
Yes.
Because this is the same concept as you gathering in a circle for insert coffee or wine here.
Whatever you want.
But you're sharing stories like, oh my God, my kid is so attached to and takes it everywhere.
Uh-huh. Maybe like grandpa gave him a fishing pole and he just won't put it down. I have to tuck the fishing pole into bed with him.
I'm sure a lot of times people, little ones are falling in love with cartoon characters.
Sure.
If there's a Bluey stuffy and your daughters are, let's probably subtract maybe 8 or 9 years from both of their ages, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to probably want, because you guys are so into that right now.
Uh-huh.
They're going to want to carry that thing everywhere.
Absolutely. It becomes a comfort item, a safety blanket, so to speak. But it is definitely not a stuffy, not a lovey. It's not a blanket. It's an unusual item.
What is your kid's unusual lovey?
Her favorite color is brown. And she wouldn't go on a walk unless she had something brown. And so they gave her brown Play-Doh.
But she always had to have something brown with her?
Yeah.
To leave the house?
For walks.
For walks. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She wanted to walk on the sidewalk, but she was sick, so they wanted her to get in the stroller one time. And she insisted on taking something brown or she wouldn't get in her stroller. And so now she takes it every time.
I love that. I love it when they go through a weird, like, my daughter wanted black when she was 2. And I'm like, no, that's too dark. You look gothic.
She's stuck on black. This one's stuck on brown.
You think it's going to be pink or something?
No, it's brown.
All right.
She loves the brown.
I know. I think brown is such a strange color for a child to like.
It's not very vibrant. That's for sure.
No, but I mean, I guess if you're going on a walk, maybe it had to do with nature.
I just love, as I was thinking through that answer, they're attached to a color for, again, nobody knows why, right? Then there's negotiation going on in the mind of the kid.
Completely.
I'm not going unless it comes with me. So the kid clearly knows why they want it, but then we don't know, right? It's just, this is now the new thing. The new norm is we're not going anywhere unless this lovey comes along with us.
And you never know where that attachment is going to be created. This came from, it's my favorite color, so I have to have my favorite color with me. It was like a visual cue.
And then it locked in.
Yes.
Right? It's like, now it has to happen.
Sometimes it's a textural thing. We talked to a mom yesterday who whose daughter carried a tomato. Like, that's a kind of a squishy but mm-hmm. very smooth surface. It's weird how they can kind of develop an attachment to unusual items.
Almost anything.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's anybody out there who has a little one who has attached themselves to a dog toy. Because here it's close to the ground.
Sometimes there's a tough differentiation between that's a dog toy and that's a kid's toy.
That's true.
I have been confused in stores before. You know, like at a certain
age.
They
both rattle and squeak.
Yes.
You don't know.
Yes.
They're both for teething.
Is that the kid's toy or is that the dog's?
Does your kid have an unusual lovey? Has your kid fallen in love with a Naga hide bone and now won't leave it at home? It has to go everywhere you go. Whatever it is, we would just love to hear the lovey. The phone lines are open for Momtiversity at 200-1029.
Helping raise your kids the scramble way. This week's Momtiversity on Z102.9.
Sometimes being a parent is knowing it's not weird at your house.
No.
This happens to everybody.
Sometimes, like, certain things that your kid gets really, really into becomes the norm. Like, Gina says that her little guy got obsessed with balloons. Like, anytime they would go to the store, they had to pick up a package of balloons. That was like milk, bread, eggs, balloons. Because he had to have a balloon. So naturally, when the Z102.9 balloons were at the downtown Cedar Rapids Farmers Market, they had to stop every time. He eventually grew out of it, age 7.
Hey, I'm sure I handed that balloon to that little guy.
I'm sure we saw him many times.
I'm a big fan of getting down on one knee and tying it to the wrist.
But that's a long time to be completely
infatuated.
Has to have that item.
That's our question from Momtraversy. Does your kid have an unusual lovey?
He has had the same blanket, like a pink and polka dotted blanket, since she was born. And she literally carries it everywhere she goes.
How old is she now?
Yes.
She's 8 years old.
And still carrying the blanket?
Yes, everywhere she goes. She can't go to sleep without it. She can't go to the bathroom without it.
Oh, my.
Do you see this going all the way till high school graduation?
Probably. She says she's going to have it until she moves out. So,
does it have a name?
Did you name your blanket? What? Angel.
Angel. Aww. Aww.
That's so sweet.
But it makes her feel safe and secure, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. If she don't have it with her, she calls, can you bring my blanket to me?
Aww.
So,
sometimes you need something.
Yeah, there's a connection there for sure. Maybe a back pocket conversation on this one is, okay, whatever the unusual or maybe usual thing is, does it have an unusual name?
Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes you develop an attachment to something. Like Rima said that her mom's slip became referred to as Boogie. And Boogie had to be taken everywhere. So her mother's lingerie became the lovey item.
Named Boogie.
Boogie got dropped at a restaurant. The waiter picked it up and kind of blushes and says, ma'am, I think this is yours.
Which at one point the waiter's like, how did that fall off while you were sitting down?
How did Boogie fall off of you?
Oh, no, that's Boogie. Just hand it to the child.
No. That's Boogie.
That belongs to the little one.
Ma'am.
Not me.
Ma'am,
did you drop this? Does your kid have an unusual lovey?
Well, my two-year-old, thank God, for only a month or about a month, was attached to tomatoes, and we had to carry a tomato with us everywhere we went.
Like a fresh tomato?
A fresh tomato. And when it would get bruised and all gross, I'd have to get a new one, or it'd be a big problem.
What was the attachment? Do you know where that started?
It was really soft and smooth, and she's all about the texture. So.
Oh, yeah, that can be a big thing.
But you said just a couple of months?
Only a month, thank goodness, because it was causing a mess.
No kidding.
Was this a homegrown thing? Like, were you out in the garden, she touched them, or is it like we went through the grocery store and she discovered this thing and she had to have it?
Yes, she became my shopping partner, and she would, whatever we'd put in the cart, I'd let her put in the cart. And when we had a tomato at one point, it was on from there.
It's on.
Apples, don't give me apples. I need a tomato, baby.
You throw that banana away, Mom.
Yep, tomatoes for sure.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric, your friends and neighbors. Z102.9.
Ginger, my second favorite horse to chestnut.
Second
Ginger. Ginger, good morning. Dare I say, co-favorite.
Co-favorite.
Chestnut and Ginger, because we got to ride different horses each day at horseback riding camp.
Yeah.
Ginger, it's been eons. How are you doing?
Yeah, Eric, it's so good to see you after all these many years. I can only really count by tapping. I know it's been a lot of years, but I'm so glad to see you. You were such a nice boy at church camp, and I'll never forget you for that.
Well,
Ginger,
thank you.
Is he much the same, or has he changed at all?
You know what? I'll tell you. The height's the same.
Oh, good.
The other sizes are different,
but
it's okay. Here's what I remember. A nice boy who was, again, just a tad heavy, maybe. I'll tell you this. It was a church camp. So what more can you ask for? You got a nice, wholesome boy there.
I was whole. That's true.
You were whole.
I'm stocky. I've been stocky my entire life, and I'm owning it. I'm leaning into it. That's who I am. That's my core.
And I get it. You're pushing so hard to be the stocky jockey, but I think that there's other options on the table. Case in point, I've had several people reach out to me, and I think listener Tracy put it best. I think she's got a beautiful idea here. You're not qualified to be a jockey either. Producer Ben might be too tall, but a stocky jockey just doesn't really exist either. So you need to get off your high horse. According to Tracy.
Fair enough.
And maybe come up with a different idea. She thinks a good idea would be that you both show up in a horse costume with producer Ben as the head, since he's so tall. And then obviously you would be behind him.
I'm the tail.
Yes, the rear end of.
I'm the business part of the horse.
You're the business end of the horse.
So you wouldn't look the gift part of Ben in the mouth.
No.
And you'd steer clear of me completely.
You'd have to steer clear of you.
I'm going to one up this, because now I'm still playing second fiddle to Ben.
Mm.
How about Ben remains jockey?
Okay.
And I'm just a horse.
And you're the horse.
I don't know. Is that possible?
He's the jockey. You're the horse.
That,
I think.
Is it? Nah. Nah. Maybe. I don't know.
Yay or nay.
Good morning. Maybe you could borrow the Rough Riders costume, their mascot, Ryder.
Oh, I Eric. Could,
oh, I didn't ooh. Think of that.
Ooh.
We have a lot of horse mascots here.
Actually, come to think of it, there's a Mustang Sally at Mount Mercy, too.
You are more like a horse than a jockey. Let me think about that.
Good idea.
That's a great idea.
Oh, my gosh. We're on to something here. I like it.
Do you have any oats?
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Yep, bye. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.